I believe that we're at a point where we could say that we see light at the end of the tunnel.
Short, sweet, to the point. Governor Tomlin from West Virginia, optimistic over that chemical spill on Thursday. Still, people are not able to use water. It's a big problem. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, welcome to This Week in the World of America Tonight. What's the buzz in your backyard and mine? It still is over politically. Chris Christie trying to defend himself. We can't help it because we like to handicap what's happening in 2016. Seems like it's far away, but it's not. It's much closer than you think, because when it comes to picking candidates, then debates being set up, money being pumped in, all of that's happening right now. There are a lot of those conversations that are flowing across the land. But let's talk about what's flowing in a river in West Virginia that's so troublesome. They can't say 100% that it's solved, and that's the problem. But they're getting closer. There's signs of improvement in the river. There are 300,000 people at least affected by this. They're under what you call a strict tap water ban because of that spill five days ago. So Governor Earl Ray Tomlin feeling pretty good that they're getting closer to when he can say you can use your water. The last tests that were done show that it's improving, but not completely safe at this point. Not completely safe. The chemical spill was first noticed on Thursday on the Elk River, and it contaminated the water supply really through the heart of the state in Charleston. Schools shut down, businesses forced to shut down, restaurants forced to shut down. Think of the money being lost over this. They did a couple of tests on Sunday at the treatment plant showing that the chemicals concentration was at 0 parts per million for water going in and out of the plant. But before you can signal the all clear, the water sample tests have to show that the chemicals presence in the public water system is at or below 1 parts per million. Because that's the recommended number. They're feeling good about it because they've been collecting samples. They have 16 teams collecting samples from all the affected areas. But they have to make sure that it's safe. Of course they do. At this point, you're going to be 100% sure. As much as you can, you're going to make sure you test and test and test before you say, go ahead and do it. So people are lining up for water. They're distributing water. The West Virginia National Guard is out there. There are people from local police departments that are helping. A lot of people helping, which is great. Right away, that was what started to happen. There was an influx of people, who were coming into the state and bringing a bunch of water. Because what's the thing that you need? Water, water, water. It does point out the need, though, I think, to be emergency prepared. I've said this story before, and I have been in many disasters, and I would just slough it off that it was no big deal until I got caught into something where you couldn't get a hotel room and there was no place to go, and you really want to have water, you really want to have food, you really want to be prepared, because the people who were prepared, it was an easier transition, of course, for them than the ones that had to line up in long lines when this first happened. Because it happened early on Thursday morning. They were talking about this licorice smell, this odor that was in the tap water. And so then that set off the alarm. So the State Department of Environmental Protection started getting the complaints. And then it found out that there was a leak of a 40,000-gallon tank at this company, Freedom Industries, along the Elk River. And that's where all of it was leaking from, there. But it wasn't reported until just after noon. They think about 7,500 gallons leaked. Some of it got contained, but how much exactly went into the water, they really don't know. And there are about 170 or so people that went to the hospital for feeling nauseous and feeling other symptoms. There were 10 people that were admitted to a couple of different hospitals, but they say that their conditions aren't serious. The one thing that this does, and this is why the governor, Governor Tomlin, really wants to give the all clear, it's because he knows that this is a hardship on a state that is reliant on coal. So because the chemical agent that was found in the water is a cleaning agent used to clean coal, automatically, even though that's not where it came from, that's where the finger started to be pointed. It's coal, it's coal, it's coal. And without coal in West Virginia, they are dead in the water. Right now, their unemployment number, for what it's worth, is less than the national number. And it's because of coal. That is the heart and soul of West Virginia. No coal, they don't survive. That is the biggest industry there. So this spill couldn't have been worse. The second it was tied to, oh, yeah, this is an agent used in cleaning coal. Tomlin has said, look, we're gonna tighten regulation of chemical storage facilities, because that's what it was. It was a chemical storage plant. But because it's connected to coal, this accident does not look favorably on the coal industry. They shouldn't bear the brunt of it, but it doesn't matter. They're getting some of the blame for this. In fact, the president of the West Virginia Coal Association, I don't blame him. If I was his PR person, of course I would trot him out all over the place. He kept saying it's a chemical accident. It just so happens that the chemical has some applications to the coal industry. But don't look at the coal industry, because they know they're already struggling to try to keep things going the way it is in West Virginia. They're having a lot of problems with coal and the perception of coal in that state, where they are coal dependent. It's like you think the auto industry and you think Detroit and what's happened to Detroit with the auto industry and the lousy people that ran the city of Detroit, and how now it's like a mecca of deserted homes and boarded up homes and people who don't want to live there and have fled from Detroit as they try to rebuild that image because they were so car reliant. And when people weren't buying American cars or enough to pump up what was coming out of Detroit, that was very, very costly. And in West Virginia, coal is their car. They don't want to see coal go away. All right, coming up on the flip side, you can chime in, 855-266-5283. Chris Christie, should he just forget about casting his name in the hat for president? Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Do you know how much the dollar has lost in its value against other currencies in the last 90 days? Ever think about how inflation will change your life, your savings, your retirement plans? Remember inflation in Zimbabwe, Argentina, the Weimar Republic? Put another way, who cares if your investments go up 10%, but you lose 40% of your purchasing power? Gold is the only monetary asset as no one else's liability. Gold still buys the same amount of stuff it always did. Gold does not require trust in a third party. You can possess it in your hand. You can take it with you. Gold is real money. Gold is honest money. My name is Daniel Larson from Midas Resources. To find out how you can protect your savings and roll over your IRA funds into precious metals accounts, please call me at 800-686-2237, extension 134. That's 800-686-2237, extension 134. 800-686-2237, extension 134.
Yesterday, I got a notice from the IRS. They say I owe them over $16,000. I don't have that kind of money, but the notice said if I don't pay it in 30 days, they're going to go into my bank account and take my money, put a lien on my house, and garnish my wages. Can they really do that?
If you owe back taxes, unless you get help, the IRS can do all that and more. Don't try to fight the IRS on your own. Use Coast One Financial Group and let them help you get a fresh start. Their Fresh Start program that will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS or state have in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. You get a fresh start if you owe at least $10,000 in back taxes. They're so sure they can help you that they'll give you a 20% discount just for calling right now. Dial 877-328-6404. That's 877-328-6404. Again, 877-328-6404.
Two, three, ooh. Ooh. Knows it better than I know myself, so I'm gonna let her do all the talking. Ooh-hoo. Ooh-hoo. Came across a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree. Ooh-hoo. Ooh-hoo. I felt a little fear upon my back. I said, don't look back, just keep on walking. Ooh-hoo. Ooh-hoo. When the big black car said, look this way, he said, hey, that day, will you marry me? Ooh-hoo. Ooh-hoo. But I said, no, 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 no. I said, no, no, you're not the one for me. No, 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 no. I said, no, no, you're not the one for me.
Ooh-hoo. Coming up at the tail end of this hour, what happened in those NFL games? You get the skinny here. We'll talk about it. Plus, Matt has the highlights. Seattle fans, though, generating a massive earthquake. Well, not massive, but it seemed like it was massive. I have the details coming up on that as well. But until we hit that segment, let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
This one from Chris, who says, hey, Kate Delaney, I haven't spoken to you in a long time. I used to call you all the time. Remember me? That doesn't give me, there's like no hint there. Remember me? So he goes on to say that he's sick of Chris Christie and all the conversation about Chris Christie. In fact, Kate, I think Chris Christie would make a lousy president. He seems like he's so hot under the collar. That's not very presidential. We are tired of thin-skinned presidents. So I think he exhibited that several times, and especially now he's seeing what it's like to have the shoe on the other foot. This is a major screw-up, and I don't think he can get by it. That's the bottom line. What do you think? No, I think that it's behind this, I mean, it's easy to throw this up. I don't know that anyone running against him would throw it up, but the controversy, the scandal's growing. And the question becomes, how does someone like Chris Christie not realize that he's got somebody in his office that's closing lanes on a major bridge? I mean, this isn't like some little bridge that a few hundred people are going over. We're talking like 30,000 people a day. Imagine in your mind, wherever you live, imagine a bridge in your town, your suburb, your rural area, where you have 30,000 people that are crossing over that bridge. And that is a major, major deal. Traffic is huge because so much money is earmarked anyway for bridges and tunnels and all of that stuff, that this is disastrous. I mean, you know, it's disastrous. I think his friends and I think other politicians are backing him unless something comes out that specifically ties Chris Christie to it. But these are closures of lanes on a bridge over the Hudson River that are now the epicenter of this disaster for Chris Christie's political career as far as his aspirations to become president of the United States. I mean, that's the bottom line. So either he looks like he delegated too much or he's crooked. That's the bottom line. I think there's only two ways that this goes. And either way is not good for him. Got another one here. We can't get enough of this Chris Christie thing. This one from Jules, who says Chris Christie sank when those lanes were closed. Doesn't matter that he fired an aide. There are too many people that weren't crazy about him in the first place. I don't think he'd make a great president myself. But as far as being a political candidate in 2016, doubt it. Well, he's denying the involvement, and I guess, you know, that's why he had that press conference where he decided he was going to answer questions forever and a day. But there were public safety problems because of the lane closures. And is this about the whole retribution about that mayor in Fort Lee, which is ridiculous? But the fact that, you know, you're not talking about one day, too. Let me make sure you know that. We're talking about from September 9th to September 13th, those lane closures were moved around. So that's a lot of traffic, that's a long time, and that's a lot of furious people. A lot of furious people. So supposedly, this was supposed to be part of a traffic study from the Port Authority, and I think it's a massive, massive, massive screw-up. And of course, the emails show it. So you have his deputy chief of staff, former Bridget Kelly, who was involved in it because the emails show the correspondence that are going back and forth. And that's the most damaging thing. This part I just don't get. We've had people on the show actually talking about it. You want to think your own future? You write things like that on emails, like making fun of the mayor of Fort Lee because you're thrown in his face, and then they just get the emails. The emails don't, people think emails just evaporate or something. That is like Penn and Teller magic. Poof, they're gone. They're out on my computer, and now I've deleted them, so they're gone. You just have to be very careful about emails and social media. But people who are in politics are not very smart when it comes to something like that, because why would this aide do that, knowing that that could be used against them? And, of course, now it's being used against the office. She was fired. And who knows what ultimately happens with Chris Christie. All right, I got a ton of email on this. I'll just do one more. And this one is from Al, who says, "Hello, America, tonight, and to all the listeners I've been watching." He means listening. "I have been listening," insert listening, "a lot lately, and I've been enjoying your offerings. The Chris Christie thing, I think the emails, even if they don't trace them to Christie, he's guilty by association. He's in control. The buck should stop with him. For goodness sake, if he can't handle a staff in a governor's office, how would he do in the Oval Office?" Touche. That's what a lot of people are going to say. Let's go on to this one. This one comes to us from Allison, who says, "Kate, that story out of West Virginia is horrible. Can you imagine just all of a sudden waking up smelling the smell that the people were smelling when they were running water, feeling like they couldn't ignore it, making the phone calls and having no idea what was happening, then being told you couldn't use the water because it was tainted with chemicals, and they're still not over it yet at this point. That means showers, washing clothes, dishes, drinking. It had to be a nightmare for those people and probably still is. Well, yeah, of course. And then that makes you a little freaked out, to say the least. Oh, our water is bad, but we can't drink it, and we're waiting until it's all cleared. And I think you forget, too. You turn on the water, and you I bet you I would. You know, that's all anyone's talking about. It's the buzz in your area, all over West Virginia. But still, there could be that moment where you just go for the glass of water. You just don't think about it, or you turn on the shower, or whatever it is. But it looks like they're close to calling it okay. They're testing the water, and the samples have been improving. So it could be maybe another day, and then they'll be able to, the people in West Virginia in these affected areas will be able to drink the water, and that's a good thing. One more on West Virginia, and this one comes to us from O'Connor. I love that. That's going to be last name. O'Connor here. How you doing, Delaney? West Virginia, I heard you mention Charleston and family living there. Boy, the people in WV have got it hard. It's challenging to live without water. Water is our greatest source. That's why the future is all about water. The person with the most water wins, because that's going to be like currency. Trust me, I'm not a kook. I'm just the master of the obvious. Look around you and you'll see. So sorry for those people, those folks who are without water and have had to stand in line and wait and get some distributed to them. Well, you know, the good news is that the water really flowed as far as people helping and getting water to the people. You know, trucks and the National Guard, people bring it in. So anybody who needed water was getting water. Of course, the point is, it's never enough, right? So how many people are in your family? How are you going through the water, going to the store? I'm sure it's all off the shelves at this point, and you're just waiting for the high sign because you want to get out of this. That's what it is. You want to have clean water anyway. You don't want to be dealing with it. Coming up, we have our weekly re-rack, one of them anyway. I thought it was an interesting conversation that I had with Derek Green about the war on poverty. How far have we come since LBJ's pronouncement on we've got to attack this problem? Derek Green, very candid from Project 21. That's on the flip side.
A healthy digestive system supports a healthy immune system. And a healthy immune system protects you against infections and disease. Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse, available at Terraganics.com, is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic and is gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM1 contains three groups of beneficial microbes and enzymes to cleanse and remove toxins, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, and aids in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is dairy, wheat, and soy-free, is non-GMO, has all natural certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is never freeze-dried. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. Terraganics.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy viruses. byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to TaxHelpOnline.com. That's TaxHelpOnline.com.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on Big Pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from UtopiaSilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit UtopiaSilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338. 888-213-4338 and talk to the Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. UtopiaSilver.com.
Can't release my mind. I just can't find the time. I sleep blind. There is a war of poverty out in the street. Can't enjoy the luxury finding time to sleep. Debt to keep on hustling on the front. Simply, I'm always on the hunt. Working myself just like a mule.
Would you believe that it's been 50 years? It's the 50th anniversary of the War on Poverty. Remember this? Think back to President Lyndon Baines Johnson's 1964 campaign and talking about poverty and putting the kibosh on poverty and waging, as he said, waging the war on poverty. And the administration today, the Obama administration, is trying to say that if we hadn't declared unconditional war on poverty in America, millions more Americans would still be living in poverty today. And of course, there are others who take a different look at what that mission was and what the misses were. And I'm one of those people, and we're going to talk about that throughout the show tonight here on America Tonight. And I want to know what you think, too. 855-266-5283. Do you think the war on poverty was successful? Are we winning the war on poverty? Joining us now, he's in our virtual green room. He has the perfect name for that, too, by the way. Derek Green from Project 21. And, Derek, if we take you back to what LBJ was saying and that whole idea of the war on poverty, do you think we're, first of all, do you think we're winning the war on poverty now?
No, I don't. I think that with the number of Americans that are still or that are currently living in poverty, I can't see by what, you know, statistic that we would judge ourselves by saying that we won this war on poverty. We still have over 50 million Americans living in poverty. I think that the effects of some of these big government programs that were implemented 50 years ago today through pockets of America, and then as judging by America as a whole, I definitely think that these policies contributed to increasing poverty or at least maintaining poverty. Now, that's not to say that the programs haven't helped anyone along the way. Of course that they have. But overall, if we're going to judge the programs and the policies overall, I think that it's been a tremendous waste of money. And I think, like I said before, I think that we've done more to perpetuate poverty than to eradicate it.
Yeah, and when you say we've done more to perpetuate poverty, what would you say specifically are some of the things that just don't work?
Well, I think that, you know, whether a person wants to look at the policy like this or not, I think that subsidizing women to have children destroys the family. I think that, you know, and no, you know, better picture can be seen than the black community. We've seen that black illegitimacy has, you know, quadrupled since the Great Society programs were implemented. Again, America as a whole, right now for black Americans, 73% of all black children are born out of wedlock. For America, it's over 40%. So as a country, we haven't done well, but specifically for the black community, we haven't done well either. Also, what that has done is that it has made the black man as a husband and a father completely irrelevant, because if the woman can have children and the government can continue to take care of her, then you've automatically, you know, made the black man disposable. And I think morally, I think that that's wrong, but socioeconomically, we've seen the effects of that over the last 50 years. We've seen, you know, a drastic increase in black incarceration rates, drastic increase in juvenile delinquency and high school dropouts and the lack of consistent employment. So all of these things have negating factors that, you know, once you add them all up, you say the intentions might have been there, but we have to judge these policies by their results, and I think the results have been found wanting.
Yeah, you know, there's some people that would listen to you, and they'll listen to other members that are tremendous that we've had on from Project 21 and say, wow, do you hear Derek? He's dissing on people in the community. I don't understand it. How can he do that? Do you ever get any flack for that?
You know, I do. It's not as much now as it was before, but I still get it. And the one thing that I tell people when whether it's in, you know, the social media atmosphere or just in the coffee shop when I'm doing my work, is that I'm not coming down on black people, but I'm not going to excuse black people for contributing to their own self-destruction. You know, I would like to treat blacks as individuals and as adults. I'm not going to infantilize blacks, but I'm also, you know, would like to say to these people, that being said, you know, these policies have also contributed to the decline, so it's not, you know, a panacea of by any stretch, but we have to at least look at the factors honestly and say, listen, it's not that I'm, you know, condemning black people, but at the same time, we have to be as responsible for our actions as we can, and then kind of go from there. So, you know, it's not as bad as it used to be, but it's still there.
So, and good for you too. For, I mean, obviously you're real, and that's the deal. You're being yourself, and wouldn't it be great if we could solve the riddle of some of the problems that you're talking about? It's like the welfare programs. Wouldn't it be great if they were there, kind of as a fail-safe for a family that really needs it, but then they're able to get back to what they can do in working and whatnot. A lot of people feel that the welfare programs just simply flat out foster disincentives, that why would we have two-parent homes, and why would we, as you were saying, why bother to go down that road when you can rely on government assistance? And you know, other people will argue, Derek, and say, oh, that's, you're being racist, and that's nonsense, and that's not true. But do you think, if we were to put a number on it, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the worst, where do you think we are on that scale of people just riding the train because they don't have an incentive to get off of that, and they're trapped, they keep staying in the same cycle?
You know, I would probably say a 5 or a 6. And I used to think that it was lower, but I would say 5 and 6. And I say that because in our power, we will never be able to fully eradicate those people who want to have a free lunch. So that being said, what we have to do is those people who truly and genuinely need, you know, government subsistence, to help them out with that, but then to give them the tools and point them in the right direction in which they can get into work, re-experience the dignity of work to being self-sufficient, and to get them off of welfare as quickly as possible. But, you know, again, there's just a lot of people who want a free ride. They want to be subsidized. They want to be taken care of. And if you take that in combination with there is a certain segment in the black community that feels that they're owed because of prior discrimination, racism and things of that nature. Now, whether they've experienced it or not is a different story, but they're fed a consistent diet of the reason you can't get out of poverty is because white racism is the prevalent barrier that's preventing your socioeconomic success. They believe this, and then they vote people into office that give them benefits as some sort of salve because of their victimization. So I think there's a number of things that go into it. And I think that that's where, if we're ever going to change this particular pattern, we have to go into the root, you know, kind of give them something that counters the victimization narrative, and then that counters them being paid to be a victim.
Yeah, what do you think that is? Programs where you have incentive for working or rebuilding the family? I mean, how do you tackle that? How do you turn that around? Because it's hard to completely turn. As you said, it's hard to completely turn that all the way around.
It is, and I think there's a number of things. I think one of the things that we need to do is to advance policies that support and encourage marriage. I think that we also need to, and this is where it gets a bit dicey, but, you know, have politicians, you know, outwardly support the social institutions that are closest to these individuals. You know, in America, it used to be the church. It used to be these civic organizations that men used to go to and hang out with men, women used to go to and things of that nature, and the church. And I think that specifically out of those organizations, the church has lost its influence to government, by the way. And I think that we need to get back into a religious aspect of, you know, the dignity of marriage. You know, why should we get married? What are the benefits of marriage intrinsically? But then what are the benefits of marriage and having children in the bounds of marriage, not just morally, but, again, socioeconomically? So I think that there needs to be policies that advocate and encourage marriage. And I think that these need to be policies that kind of disincentivize this the easiness of which to get a divorce. You know, I think that with these no-fault divorce policies that we have, people kind of go into it thinking that if I don't like it, I can change a spouse like I can change shoes. You know, so I think that we need to kind of go through and kind of start from the bottom and at the top, bottom being the church and the organizations closest to the people, at the top advocating for policies that encourage a lot more of a stable social structure, especially in black America, because at 73% of having black children born out of wedlock, the high rates of abortion, and then you have the high rates of you know, high school dropouts and things of that nature, that's an epidemic. And I just personally am tired of poor blacks being used as political pawns and fronts for policies that don't benefit them.
Yeah. Boy, amen. That's so well said. What a perfect time to say it, too, on this 50th anniversary of a very, very much failed policy. Derek Green, as always, thanks. Hey, if somebody wants to read your stuff, where can they go? Project 21, right?
Yes, project21.org, and they can also go to derekgreen.net, and it's spelled D-E-R-R-Y-C-K, greenlikethecolor.net.
Excellent. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Mondays is for drinking, Tuesday seldom smoking. There's this whisper in the jokers doing first by the pound to a chorus of supposes from the little town halls. There'll be twisted karaoke at the Aniseed Lounge, and I'll bring you a bed of roses.
Curious about what comes next? Next is the feeling of vulnerability you get after you arrive home to discover your house has been ransacked by burglars. Fool the bad guys with a new improved fake TV. You asked for it, we listened, and we made our new fake TV three times brighter than our previous model. The brightness of our new fake TV is equivalent to a 40-inch TV. It simulates the color and motion of a real TV while you're away from home. And when burglars think someone is home watching television, they're likely to pass your house and move on to an easier target. The new, brighter fake TV is only $39.95 and includes free shipping. Go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
These days, so many suffer from heartburn, stomach ulcers, and acid reflux, and most never realize it is the high acidity within the body that causes their discomfort. While selective diet choices can help, AlkaVision Plasma pH drops can really make a change. A few drops added to water can optimize your body's pH level, ridding you of harmful waste and acid, promoting health, and restoring vibrance and energy. Healthy pH levels make all the difference. High acidity can also cause depression, insomnia, and irritability. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops bring you vital balance that can be truly life-changing. Alkalizing boosts immune response, reduces headaches and cramping, and even helps prevent bone loss. This is simple science that helps your body do what's natural. Order your AlkaVision pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
To thank you for being a loyal listener, we have a limited time freebie offer for you. Claim your free heirloom tomato seeds, just pay shipping, right now at 123freeseeds.com. These aren't ordinary seeds. These are heirloom, non-genetically modified super seeds that are open pollinated and can be grown, harvested, and replanted endlessly. These survival seeds are actually more valuable than gold in a crisis. Go to 123freeseeds.com and you can get an airtight storage packet of 150 super seeds free while supplies last to say thank you for being a loyal listener. First come, first served. Just cover shipping. Go to 123freeseeds.com now to see if your free heirloom seeds are still available. That's 123freeseeds.com.
Shotgun, turn handle, it's got some opening. 10, 5, touchdown, Seahawks! It's beast mode from 15 yards out. Just started the second quarter. The Seahawks on top of the Saints, 12-0, and the pushing and shoving continues in the south end zone.
Russell takes the snap, hands to Marshawn, who bounces it to the left side inside the 30, down the 20, still moving.
Gathers it in, looks left, bounces around, throws in the end zone. Demaryius Thomas has it. And Demaryius Thomas with a Denver touchdown.
Manning, design roll to left, throws.
Welker's got it. Welker's got a touchdown. Peyton Manning got knocked down the play, but Wes Welker on a design rolling pop to the left. Just ran a little quick out. Went high to get it to Darryl Stuckey on the play, and Denver's second
touchdown of the first half.
Ah, the football weekends are dwindling, folks. For all of you that are fans of the great game of the NFL, yep, we're getting closer to that Super Bowl. The Patriots, you heard there, the Patriots with their 43-22 win over the Colts. The Seahawks beating the Saints 23-15. And, of course, the San Francisco 49ers beating the Panthers 23-10 and topping things off the Broncos over the Chargers 24-17. Interesting, these last four teams that are left now, when you think of the 49ers and Seattle, there's no love lost between those two coaches. There's some interesting storylines there as the 49ers go to Seattle. I think it'll be tough for those fans to get tickets. They've been talking about that, meaning fans, San Francisco fans, Seattle fans are going to lock those suckers up. And then you've got the Broncos and Peyton Manning going up against the New England Patriots. So it's that Tom Brady, Peyton Manning storyline too. And that's it for your AFC and NFC divisional championship games. And then obviously the two teams left standing will be in the Super Bowl in New York. Matt, you were watching these games over the weekend. Not quite the excitement that we saw from the wild card, but in a way you kind of expect that. So far, the teams that I expected to be there at the end are there. I mean, really the four teams that are left are the teams that a lot of people picked to be there at the end, don't you think?
Yeah, and I think the Carolina 49er game, that was the one where you had kind of a back and forth there for a little bit at least.
Yep.
Other than, I mean, all the other games are pretty much blowouts.
Oh yeah, they were. I mean, if there a couple things happened with Cam Newton. If that hadn't happened, it might have been a different outcome. Who knows? You're right. That was probably the closest game if you were watching it. And if you just picked up a paper and looked at the scores and you went through the quarters, it would look that way too.
I mean,
but the other ones were more blowouts.
The Seattle game, it was the score said it was closer than it actually was because Seattle had that game in hand. They just never really kind of put them away to an extent. In the Colts-Patriots game, that was just, I mean, LeGarrette Blount had four touchdowns, and they're running all over the Colts defense, and Andrew Luck kept throwing so many picks.
Oh, I know. Oh, that was sad. That was just the undoing right there. Then can't have that happen if you're going to get beyond and go to the championship game. Yeah, you can't have that happen.
I think it sets up an awesome weekend next weekend because you have Brady versus Manning, which, you know, for so long, that was always the AFC Championship game, except for it was the Colts. Now you have the Broncos team. And then you have the San Francisco, Seattle, huge rivals. The coaches hate each other. They're division rivals. The players hate each other. The fans hate each other. It's just a great matchup.
Yeah, I think so, too. I like both of those games. I think both of those games are going to be exciting and fun to watch. You know, obviously, I'll be watching them. And we'll have another nail the score. Nobody nailed the score this last time around. Some of the picking was right with the Broncos because that was the game of the week. But 24-17, that wasn't in the cards for anybody. A couple people coming close. You know, I think my guess was like 38-27 was my guess, so I wasn't that close. But we did have 27-13. We had Pete in Texas at 28-17. You know, we're starting to get closer with this. And actually, Pete's was probably the closest, 28-17. But it didn't end up being that 24. In the end, that was what it was. So Peyton Manning has to feel pretty good about being where he is after all the records that he set this past season and now to reach the AFC title game. And I think that for John Fox and for the rest of that team and that organization, they are stoked beyond belief because this is what the setup was. It was just to get there to the game and then get there to New York. And, of course, Wes Welker was back for them, and he got a touchdown in the game that they didn't slip through their fingers. The playoffs didn't slip through their fingers, so they end up going to the championship game. And they started off with a 17-zip lead in the fourth quarter before the Chargers started to kind of hammer back. But that really wasn't close, as Matt and I just discussed. The closest game certainly wasn't that one. A lot of people picked the Broncos to be standing in the end, and we'll see if that comes true, because now you've got to get through New England and Tom Brady, and that's not going to be so easy. And it's the same thing with Seattle. A lot of people pick Seattle. I pick Seattle. Seattle still has to get by San Francisco, and that's why a lot of the talk is, I think, is going to be along some of the storylines that we said, whether it's Harbaugh, and Carroll and their hatred for each other, the two coaches, and what's going to happen on the field, or whether you're talking about Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. And I want to make sure everybody knows we will do Nail the Score. There will be a Nail the Score. That happens on our Friday morning show, early morning, in the third segment, in the third hour, rather, the last two segments. So just keep that in mind. People keep asking, when is it? I don't remember when it is. And usually I post it and we talk about it. So here is your early warning. It happens on that show. And what we'll do is, maybe as a bonus, we'll do both games. Why even pick with the computer, because we're down to it. So probably we'll probably do the both games, and then that way you get a better chance, doubles your chances to maybe be able to win this thing. And we've had two winners. I said this a couple times. We've actually had two winners in the time that we've done this. So Chris in Connecticut and Dave in Vermont were able to nail the score. And, you know, it could be you next time around. It seems like we're surrounding it, and people are getting a little bit closer. I mentioned this. I got to give you the payoff for this, the fact that there was another seismic activity generated because of a touchdown run. The earth moved, as they say, and the Saints, you know, the two times the Saints played in Seattle, the crowd at CenturyLink was just raucous, off the Richter scale. So when running back Marshawn Lynch scored what looked like a game-clinching touchdown with less than 3 minutes in the game, another quake happened. So the director of the Pacific Northwest Seismic Network at the University of Washington was quoted in the paper as saying, "We don't know yet if it was bigger than the one 3 years ago, but we do know that it happened. We know that it happened. We just don't know if it was bigger than the last time we saw this happen." I mean, the Seattle Seahawks crowd has been voted as the loudest crowd in the NFL, without a doubt. So don't forget, Nail the Score next week. Put it in your calendar or just try and remember it. If you don't have ADD, you probably can remember it without having to write it down. Usually we do it at the same time. If you have any thoughts on the show, send them to me, americatonight.net.
Time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.